I can.
Would the meeting please come to order? I'm sorry. The meeting will please come to order. This is the meeting for the Public Safety Committee. Councilman, the chair, Councilman Bell, cannot be with us. I think as a result of the County Council meeting from last Tuesday, the 10th, being continued today, the 17th, he has created some hardship from some members of council. I think we recognize that perhaps four members of the council will not be with us this evening. President Bullock is traveling. Councilman Tackett is away. Councilman Redder had another commitment for tonight, and Councilman Bell had a medical procedure today. So we are a little bit short-staffed tonight with council members, and I hope it means the meeting will reflect that in the time it takes us to get through our business. Councilman Bell, in his absence, I will try to be as kind as he has been to public safety. I would like to have the agenda from Tuesday, the last Public Safety Committee meeting, adopted.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
The minutes have been adopted. We'll call the order and move forward with ordinance number 13090. Mr. Bell is not here. It's amend the FY 2014 approved operating budget, increase the appropriation to the Departments of Public Safety Division of Emergency Medical Services by $198,975, and increase the authorized position count by 7 positions for the 2014 paramedic class. I believe Chief Tan, you want to speak to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This ordinance would provide us with 7 positions to above our normal authorized staffing levels to allow us to overfill the paramedic class that's scheduled to begin in February of 2014. Quite frankly, as we've reported in the past, our annual attrition is probably 6 to 8 positions a year. So when we start a paramedic class, after the class graduates, much like the police department, we end up short because people during the course of that that training program have left, have retired, or resigned. So this would allow us to actually start ahead of the curve and absorb the attrition that will take place during the course of the training program. We have received state authorization for 30% reimbursement of the expenditures for this project.
And Councilman Bell did explain to me what was going on here with this particular item. Are there any questions or comments from members of council? Councilman Weiner?
Yeah, I may have missed it, but just an explanation where the funds come from. Were these passed through, or where exactly where the funds come from?
It's a combination of state reimbursement and the use of reserves for this year to fund this right now.
And how much is reserved?
The total is $198,000 for the program. $59,000 is state, so roughly $140,000 is from reserves right now. Of course, we may not need that reserve depending on how the year goes. We have other vacancies that happen, or people drop out of the class, but that's projected right now.
Mr. President Pro Tem, I just want to say that the most important mission of this county in terms of dollars and commitment is public safety, and I'm going to be supporting this.
And so will I. I think it's an excellent idea that we are finally being able to get ahead of the curve as it relates to the paramedic service. I think it's an idea that has long been overdue, in my opinion. So when I was first explained to by Councilman Bell going on with this, I was right on board with it. Are there any other comments or questions from members of council? I would just like to add that I'm also pleased that this class is coming on. I had an opportunity to be on the street, if you will, at the Rodney Square during the whole recruitment process. I participated in it along with Lieutenant Alston and others from the paramedic division who was on Rodney Square. Very aggressive recruitment going on there. I mean, we had people actually going up Market Street, down Market Street, carrying all the literature. And I was very impressed with the number of the folk that actually stopped at the tent that was there in Rodney Square, and people who actually had already heard about it. And some of the folk who were responding to Lieutenant Alston, that they had already heard about the program. And I actually denied that they had heard about the program. And then the young man went on to say, well, I was at the Department of Employment, and they told us about it, and he knew the date. So I was very impressed with what was going on Rodney Square when I spent an hour or so there, maybe 2 hours. And if that's the type of recruitment that we're doing across Newcastle County and across other areas, I think that these recruiters are doing an excellent job. And I was very proud to be a part of it, quite frankly. So I want to thank you all for the job that you did in the recruitment. Any comment, questions from members of the public? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, the presentation on the Newcastle County Police Department new mobile app, and I believe Cap Advisor is going to... Oh, you didn't finish your presentation. I'm sorry.
That was it. You did a good job. I think you did it.
I'm trying to push this along, but not to that extent. No, I'm sorry.
It's on the...
No.
Well, you hit all the highlights. our goal, as we talked, was relevant in the last item on the agenda. I mean, our goal is to seat a paramedic class to begin in February 2014. We made a proposal to the state to use the Good Fellowship EMS Training Institute in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and actually through a whole series of negotiations actually develop a memorandum of understanding so that we would receive a 30% reimbursement. So once that had been secured, we kicked off an entry-level posting in August 26th that stayed up until October 7th. And we did a major news media kickoff, and just some of the highlights. I mean, you've talked about some of them already. We did a news article on Channel 6. We used WDEL. We used WDEL Spanish News. We used Comcast Latino News. We had both advertisements and a news article in El Hoy and El Tiempo. We used the Newcastle County TV channel. We published recruitment posters in both English and Spanish. We posted them in all public buildings, including all of the Newcastle County libraries, and our thanks to community services for that. We posted them in churches. Many of you assisted in placing some of our recruitment posters in your areas as well. As was mentioned, we not only posted them in the State Department of Labor, but we actually had information tables in the State Department of Labor where people could talk to us about recruitment opportunities. We did presentations and information sessions in schools. We actually heavily used social media. Some of you have helped spread the word through social media, but we did a published advertisement. We also did multiple links in social media to include avenues through different colleges and universities, such as Towson University, Delaware State University, and Howard University. We even did church bulletin inserts. We published a church bulletin insert that people could put into the bulletins on Sunday. The chair has spoken about some of our in-person recruitment and information tables, but we also did in-person recruitment at Delaware State University, Howard University, and Hampton University. We also looked at veterans. I mean, one of the issues that's been discussed in the past has been you've got a large volume of people from the Department of Defense that are potential applicants. We reached out to the Dover Air Force Base, spoke with their Family Readiness Center, was referred to their military spouses' employment placement, and also had information regarding the employment opportunity placed in the training program that actually transitions military personnel that are getting ready to leave the service. There's a mandatory 5-day transition training program, and in that training program there was information regarding this opportunity as well. We then did information sessions with the Office of Human Resources. We titled it The Path to Excellence and held 2 sessions a week for an 8-week period in the Public Safety Headquarters. It was an open period. We posted that they were there. It did not require any advanced registration and actually had several hundred, like 367 people that attended those information sessions. Thank you. And basically those information sessions talk about the position of a paramedic in the job, the requirements, the training program requirements, the selection process, some common issues in the selection process, and tips on how to be successful in getting through the selection process. The best part of those information sessions were the opportunity for those 360-some-odd people that showed up to speak directly to paramedics that had been through that training program, had been through the selection process, and could tell them firsthand this is what to expect and how you can achieve and be successful. So the results are, we had an unprecedented number of applicants in a 5-week period, probably for the first time in the history of the postings for the paramedic positions, we had over 600 applicants, 652 applicants, of which 40% were minorities. So again, probably an unprecedented number of minority candidates that have expressed an interest in becoming a paramedic. The process after receiving the applications included fitness testing at Tower Hill School with staff from the Newcastle County Police Department as well. We then went into the oral board session. We've done comprehensive background investigations and the student training agreements, as we require if we're going to send someone to school. There's a 5-year service obligation contract to protect the investment from the taxpayer. We've sent those training agreements out to the applicant pool, asked them to review them and declare whether they would be willing to sign if they were selected or not. So we're now at a point where we are working with the Office of Human Resources to extend tentative offers of employment. And based on if Ordinance 13-090 is adopted this evening, that'll determine how many people we actually put in class. But just some ballpark statistics subject to change, because people can certainly decline the offer, and after they receive an offer, they have to go through a physical as well as a psychological examination. But we're looking at 44% of that group actually have veteran status. We're looking at 56% that are our protected class, and 38% of which are minorities. So we're looking at a really aggressive recruitment opportunity, and I would just like to point out that Lieutenant Mark Alston and Paramedic Corporal Autumn Tuxford did a yeoman's job of reaching out in a very short period of time. I mean, we're seeing applications, a higher number of applications than we've seen during 6-month postings in the past. So this was done in about a 5-week period, and I'd really like to just point out the exceptional work that they've done on this. But we're now in a point where we have a draft agreement that we have forwarded to Good Fellowship EMS Training Institute. It's being reviewed, and once it's accepted, we'll be moving forward with the signing process. But we're actually roughly a month ahead of schedule at this point. We'd expected that tentative offers would be made sometime after the holidays in January. We're actually doing it before the holidays. So again, kudos to these two individuals who have been involved in shepherding this process along the whole time.
Thank you very much. Councilman Leiner, and then Councilwoman Diller.
Thank you. I've been around this table for almost 18 years. President Pro Tem has been around here longer. We've heard many administrations say, we're doing the best we can. Nothing else can be done. Yet this is the first time we really see a complete change in the protocols and a responsive increased number of applicants from minorities as well. I just want to thank Lieutenant Alston, paramedic, Larry, and the administration. Around this table, we beat them up all the time, and that's our job. But we also need to make sure that we hand out kudos when kudos are due, as long as they don't get used to it.
I also want to add Director Bryant to that list, who is our public safety director, but we're greatly appreciative of the work and the improvement that we're seeing in the paramedic unit and the pressing forward with the inclusion of your recruitment efforts, and obviously inclusion is paying off because we see a greater inclusion of minority applicants. So we're very grateful for that. Councilwoman Diller.
I just have a question about the training that you will be doing. Traditionally, people have been routed through the Deltec program. What's different about this?
Larry Tan, Chief of EMS. The difference here is that we are actually sending people out of state. So part of the agreement with the state EMS office is that all of the training, all of the clinical rotations, and all of the initial field training will be done out of state. They will achieve all of the certifications, which include National Board certification, and then will apply to the state, similar to how we handle out-of-state applicants. The plus is that even doing it that way, we are saving probably over 50% of the cost, because we're doing this in a concentrated 12-month training program. Had we gone through Deltec, it would have been roughly an 18 to 22-month training program. So we're actually saving in the long run, but they'll be doing all the training in Pennsylvania, then they'll apply to get Delaware paramedic certification after that.
I just wanted to say, on numerous occasions, I've commented that we need another path forward on this. You know, the Deltek program, I'm sure, is wonderful for some people, but I work with adult learners, and I can tell you, you need another way of doing this. And so I'm very pleased that you've moved forward, but I can tell you, in this chamber, there have been a number of us who have stated that finding alternate ways to do this have been would be very important and would be very beneficial. I went out and looked at models in other places and realized there's a lot of people who do this more quickly than the program that we've sort of ended up with in Delaware.
I want to recognize the presence of Councilman Redder, and he has a question or comment, and then Councilman Street.
Thank you. Larry, I don't know if I picked up on it or not, when you were talking about the different schools or different areas that you're going to reaching out and have training, I know Deltek has a program down there for paramedics. How does that coincide with the training that you're going to do in Pennsylvania with somebody that's on their own in Deltek that wants to do paramedic? Can they apply, take their schooling at Deltek and apply to that, or how's that going to work?
Are you asking if somebody could transition through partially completed through Deltek, could
correct.
They transition into the Good Fellowship program? I'm not sure. Typically, because Deltek works on a semester basis, and Good Fellowship actually is a continuum, if you will. It,
right.
it goes through
yeah, right.
a nationally standard curriculum. I'm not sure whether they would allow people to clip out of different sections and whatnot. I'm not sure it would transfer over. The plus would be that someone who's been through some of the program, if they elect to go through it again, obviously they're familiar with the material. The anatomy and physiology doesn't change because of what program you go to. But my sense is that because it's two different types of academic delivery, there's not a way to say, well, you've got this course, it you don't have to take it over here. My sense is you would start from the beginning and you would still go through the entire training program.
Well, in that same line, the ones that you go to Deltek, their training is what, 2 years or 3 years?
Roughly 2 years.
Okay. So basically, they're getting 1 year in Pennsylvania of what they're doing in Deltek for two.
The first year of the Deltek training program is the general academic and pre-course work. The second year of the Deltek program is the core paramedic curriculum, the stuff that really deals with what paramedics do and how they do it. When you go to a 12-month training program, you're really dealing with the core paramedic curriculum. The other difference is that Good Fellowship is not locked into a semester academic calendar.
Right.
So basically, they will start the program when we are ready.
They're going 12 months.
And they will go continuously for 12 months. So,
okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Councilman Street?
I don't think. I know I've raised as much hell and probably over the last several years more hell than anybody else. And fundamental fairness just says, you know, I bombarded you with criticism, and this is very, very well done. As a matter of fact, it's impressive. I'd like to commend, thank everybody for everything that you've done. And, you know, I certainly appreciate it. And I think it's going to make a difference, and I feel somewhat like actually it was worth all the help. At the end of the day, this is where we get to. That was the purpose and intention. So, and I want to say to the director, if part of your intention, part of this effort was to stop me from raising hell with you and getting back to my education agenda, it probably worked.
Thank you very much.
I want to recognize Chief of Police Settings, who's joined us. Any other questions, comment from members of council? Councilman Powers has now joined us. Councilman Street.
And I hope the news journal puts this all over the front page of the paper, the same way they put all the negative things over on the front page of the paper over the last 9 years.
Is that a motion?
I'll say.
Is there any comment or questions from members of the public? Thank you, Chief. Now we can move on to item 5 on the agenda. Item 5, presentation on Newcastle County Police new mobile application. Captain, the floor is yours.
Thank you, sir. Captain Wendy Fieser. We wanted to come today to show you something that we've been working quite hard on. As you all know, Colonel Senni tasked us a lot of times with finding technology and then using that technology to better serve the citizens. So what we came up with is what do people use now all the time, and we all know everybody's walking around with their phone, iPhone, Android, and they like apps on there. So we've worked long and hard, found a company that could develop an app for us. It went live today on Apple. It's been live on Android. We have not been announcing it. We wanted to come here first and show it to you. Then after the first year, we're going to be calling a press conference and announcing it to the public. And then it will be out at all the regional meetings. We'll be going out and showing very similar to what Lieutenant Dunning's going to give you, a overview of how the app works. So I'm going to let him come up and show you how the app works.
Can we use live?
We have a little bigger one upstairs, sir. Thank you, though.
Good afternoon. Lieutenant Dunning of the County Police.
Ops lead.
Yeah. Congrats. This is on iOS or Apple, and it went live today. The whole basis behind this app here is just being able to connect with communities better, give people a chance to learn about us and give us feedback, submit tips, things of that nature. So I'll just give you a quick rundown of how it works. As an about page, it just talks about the county exec, the director, and Colonel Senni, and it talks a little bit about the history of the Newcastle County Police. There's a full list of department contacts. Each one of these has a phone number and then directly links to the person's email. It's not a full list of obviously every person in the department, but you know, the broad range of contacts that the citizens are going to want to reach. Submit a tip. The tip breaks down drugs, general crime, neighborhood issues, speeding, things of that nature. Has graffiti issues on here.
Cool.
What I like about this is you can put your comments in. You can come down and attach a GPS location to it if you want. It's hard to describe where that's at. You can attach a photo. This can be done anonymously, or you can leave your information and then you can submit it. Everything that we submit through these apps, and I'll show you there's some different ones, is linked to one or two specific people in the whole department. So there's no searching for who should this go to. You send a graffiti request, it's going to go to Detective Missy Bell.
Will I get spam blocked if I send in a lot of pictures of graffiti?
Spam blocked by who?
By you.
No, sir. No,
okay,
sir.
Thanks.
Not the first few months, anyway.
Besides that, you could do your standard drug tips, general crime tips, wanted persons, speeding. Speeding and traffic is going to go to our traffic services unit, directly to the supervisor in that unit. Questions and feedback, ask the chief, community services. Gives an officer misconduct complaints, which goes directly to our professional standards unit. General questions, ID theft, media, traffic, parking. False alarm administrator is for the county false alarm ordinance. It goes directly to Bob Abbott, who's our top guy on that. Surveillance system registration is something we're going to start next year. We'll be asking for citizens to let us know if you have surveillance outside your home or business, that maybe if we have a crime in the area, we might be able to utilize in the future. So we want to try to build a database on that nature there. Commend an officer is just that, for a civilian of the department. Works just like any of the other sections in here. You just fill it out directly. News and alerts goes to our news page. Down to the bottom is a link to our website. There's a link to Newcastle, to the council. Facebook.
Pull up the council link, Bridge.
Sure. It links to our Facebook and our Twitter also. It also has our departmental survey that we put out. Sex offenders, disaster info. There's a ton of information on here, but it gives people, you know, a quick and easy way to contact us. So first of the year, we want to do a big push on this and get it out.
Very impressive. Any comments, questions? I see Councilman Street, Councilman Weiner.
I can't probably convey in words how powerful I think this is going to be in terms of, you talk about another toolbox. Got a whole lot of tools now, and the more this gets out, the more people are going to get involved. People are going to feel comfortable. And I just think it's going to be very, very powerful, and it's going to end up getting you a whole lot of information that is going to be helpful. It's going to help reduce crime, and it's going to help to address problems, get folks accolades as they need them, and maybe let folks know when they're doing something that needs to be dealt with. So I think it's very, very powerful, and I just want to commend all the leadership for bringing this forward.
Councilman White.
Thank you. I also would like to commend the administration, the IS department, the police department for their collaboration on this technological advance. We already have had great strides that set us apart from many other departments because of the leadership of Colonel Setting and the whole administration implementing the TAPS program, which I'd like to commend you on. But now this will inextricably intertwine with TAPS, and each citizen will understand that they are a deputy, in a sense, to our police department, working hand in hand. And as we go out at these meetings and try to explain that it doesn't work without citizen involvement, this literally puts it at their fingertips, particularly the younger generation that for apps is second nature.
Colonel, you want to add something?
I do. Colonel Setting, Chief of Police. This was a very inexpensive app, but I just want to point out that, you know, even though it wasn't a lot of money, it is another area where technology is going to be the key to solving crimes. Our victims are no longer victims. Our victims are telling us that they don't want to talk to us. They are giving us no details as to who beat them, shot them, stabbed them. It's just a dynamic that is becoming very popular, and the anonymity that you will have in your cell phone, your smartphone, your iPhone, to be able to say, this is what happened, and we don't know who you are, and we can't track your IP address, and you feel free. Once that is out there, and people kind of consider their iPhone their own police radio, and they can send anything they want, and some of it will be bogus. But I feel confident, I feel very confident, that with the people that we have that will sort through that information, you're also going to find real and relevant information that is going to solve crimes. While we're on the topic of graffiti, segue into it, I was with Chuck Sturt the other day, and we've got the numbers. We have a 50% reduction in graffiti in all of Newcastle County this year in the last 12 months. What do you attribute that to? Some people say kids grow out of it, that there's always the next generation doing it. What's really happening is this message that is beginning to ring true in the last 12 months, that we were not tolerating quality of life crime in Newcastle County. We are going to investigate it, and if feasible, we're going to make an arrest. It sends a broader and greater message that's reducing all crime. Again, today in the TAPS meeting, after we did a year in review, I think it's important to point out, and I thank council, the representatives that were there, and the aides that are sent, because it means a lot to have the support of council, but at the same time, I think it's worth pointing out that in the areas that we consider TAPS areas, where we're spending federal money, where we're sending the mobile enforcement teams, where we've redirected resources off the 911 treadmill, areas that are known for being open-air drug markets, a drain on resources, and our usual number one areas for drug-related homicides. Now, we have a 50% reduction in homicide in Newcastle County in the last 12 months, but we have zero homicides in any of the TAPS areas, zero. This includes Wilton, Edgemore, Brookmont Farms, the Route 9 corridor. Zero homicides. Just a year ago, a female was, you know, executed on Route 9 because she failed to get an abortion, and she was ordered to do so. We had double homicides in Edgemore where we waited for daylight to find the bodies. Anybody at this point that can suggest that this direction wasn't the right direction, I would offer you the numbers of a 50% reduction in all homicides, and two of the homicides that we investigated last year were domestic related. I can't predict those, not yet. So, That's all I have. Thank you. I appreciate council's support.
Thank you, Colonel. While this application, as you mentioned, may not have cost a lot of money, but I think it adds tremendous value as a tool to our citizens, and I think we would see the rewards of that. Thank you very much.
I agree, sir, and again, we have an executive administration that is investing in public safety, but sometimes we have council that's supporting it, but sometimes it's just a simple idea. And at first, you know, some of the things that I did in the beginning were questioned, one of which I'll point out was having a technology chief, somebody that was going to find us technology and find us money, control the fleet, make sure we weren't overspending, make sure we weren't leaving federal money on the table, you know, and take a minute to celebrate Captain Feaser for what she's done in the last 12 months, because it's been a heavy lift, and without these people and the support of our director and all you folks, it wouldn't be happening. We could be in a very different place had we not done something different very, very soon. I think the last 12 months are a clear picture of that. I thank my team and everybody that's involved.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Captain Feaser and Lieutenant Dunn as well. Councilman Weiner.
Yeah, a brief good news and bad news. Good news, crime is down. Bad news is the bad guys with the heroin, as you told us, the heroin $4 shots. They're going into the suburbs because they know there's quick hits in the cars and going to the doors of people that aren't locked and flim-flamming people. So our soldiers out there are our citizens, and this is going to enable them to have the radio, if I may use your metaphor again.
That's
radio in their hand.
The press conference, so that everybody's phone is now a police radio.
Right. And then the other aspect of this is Mayor Giuliani, the broken window syndrome. Murders, rapes, and robberies are number one, but if you take care of the broken windows and the graffiti and the other small things, you send a message to the bad people that we're on guard, we're watching. And I know in my council district, graffiti is down 95%. Illegal signs on the telephone poles, we buy your cars, they're down. It sends a message to folks that we're on guard, and the bad guys too. I just hope that with your help we can get out into other areas as well. I also note that your program now has spread, because the citizens that I go and speak to at civic associations now are aware of this. They all are. And this will give them another tool.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other comment, questions from members of council? Seeing none, any member of the public have a comment or question? We'll move on to other. Is there anything under other today? Who are you pointing to, Ed?
My quarters.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm Tony Garza, Chief of Integrated Services. And I just wanted to comment. We've been negotiating with Dog Patrol Services for the last few weeks, and we're going to actually need more money eventually. We have brought down the original number about 10%, but we will need more, so I wanted to kind of like introduce that to everyone, to council rather.
And I didn't hear the beginning, Tony. What kind of services are you?
Dog control services.
Oh, dog control.
With,
okay.
With Kent County SPCA.
Right. I did hear a little something from that informally from the deputy CEO just before this meeting started.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Powers and Councilman Cartier.
How much of an increase are you looking, or what was the original?
The original was 1,163,000. That's the beginning quote that they gave us, and we got it down to $1,035,000. So we're looking for still less than $100,000 as an increase. Not sure, we're still negotiating, so we maybe less than that, but we're looking for less than $100,000.
Thank you, Tony. Councilmember Cartier and Councilwoman Dillard.
I'm glad we're bringing up this subject, because I think for me the frustration sitting at the table as we endlessly talk about, you know, dog control, is we have really got to get the licensing mechanism in line with the cost of the contract. We have an estimated 100,000 dogs in Newcastle County. Maybe 10% of them have licenses. I mean, we know the dog community is out there, and my philosophy is, you're a dog owner, and I'm one, okay? your license pays for the control of the dog. So maybe going into the new year with the administration, together with council, we should put together some kind of push to get licenses, to get the dog community, dog owners, the dog community, as I call it, because it is a community out there today, to really get on board with us. And let's get a lot of licenses sold. Let's sell, you know, 50, 75,000 of them, you know? So we're not looking at this perpetual, you know, red ink situation with regard to animal control. It is an important function. I believe it lies with local government. If you look across the country, that's where animal control is lodged. And we just need to do a better job with this, getting the licenses so we can pay for the service.
I would agree. Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Councilman Gillis?
Yes, I just have a question. Are you including the cost of dealing with rabid animals in that? I mean, we had a conversation about that in public safety about a month ago.
Right, that's strictly dog control. We didn't include cats and any other animals. It's pretty strictly dog control.
That's so that conversation was not, that didn't move this forward then?
It didn't move forward because we were still in negotiation with dog control services.
Okay.
So we didn't bring cats or any other animals into the mix at that time.
Okay.
We can. We're still in negotiations, but right now it's just strictly
You're just working services. On dogs. Okay. All right.
It was mentioned at one of our earlier meetings that if we brought any other species in...
Right. It's going to cost more. Yes. Right. Yes.
Any other comment, question? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you very much. The executive committee meeting is at some time this afternoon.
20 minutes ago.
No, okay. Thank you.
I mean, if we just move on, we probably can do it.
It's recognized power.
Yeah. So as he wants to tell you the truth,
this is something that's a lot of work in front of it.
And I should